Everyone is headed somewhere. Where they're going is determined by what they want. And how bad they want it determines how far they'll go to get it. This morning, before you walk out of this building, I'm challenging you to get dead serious about where you're headed. I want you to come clean with yourself if you haven't already. What do you really want? You have to understand, the answer to that question has already determined where you're going. And so, how far have you gone to getting what you really do want? We're gonna read about a man this morning who really wanted something and thought he knew where he was going. Turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 1, we're introduced to him. And now Saul was consenting to his death, to Stephen's death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church. That word havoc literally describes what a boar hog will do to a garden. Uprooting. He made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. This man named Saul, of course, later to be known as the Apostle Paul, well, he was definitely headed somewhere. And he was headed there because of what he wanted. He wanted false doctrine to be eradicated, to be defeated, especially this false teaching in his mind, this false teaching about Jesus of Nazareth, who by that time was deceased. He never again wanted to hear anyone say that Jesus was the anointed one, the King, the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ, and especially he did not want ever to hear anyone say again that he was the Son of God, the divine Son of God. Saul wanted the law of Moses to be protected. And the blasphemers who worshiped Jesus to die like the blasphemer in his mind, Jesus, died. Again, how bad you want something will determine how far you're willing to go to get it. And in Acts chapter 9, we find out how far Saul was willing to go to get it. Look at verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, I want you to understand, we're not talking about a short walk in the park. We're talking about 140 miles around Samaria, down into and up out of the Rift Valley, the Jordan Valley. And some scholars estimated that it would be a 6 to 7 day, very difficult walk. Remember, Saul is a Pharisee, which meant that he had nothing to do with anyone not a Pharisee. He didn't want to look at you. He didn't want to talk to you. He didn't want to shake your hand if you were not a Pharisee. And so for Saul, who was an isolationist in every sense of the word, for Saul, it was a week of lonely, backbreaking walking, filled with a cancer of bitterness eating away at his soul. Saul was a man who would have no mercy on Christians. He did not have 1 ounce of compassion for Christians. He had no limits to how far he would go to get what he wanted in persecuting Christians. Years later, he would look back on this period of his life with many regrets. In Galatians 1:13, he wrote, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it." If you read chapters 9 of Acts and then chapter 22 and chapter 16 where Saul tells the story of his conversion, you know that Saul never reached his destination. Now, of course, he reached Damascus, but not as he had envisioned, not as he had planned. Look at Acts 9:3. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do." And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Never in Saul's wildest imagination could he ever seen himself in such a situation. He is now physically blind. By the way, he's fixing to have spiritual 20/20 vision. But he's physically blind, and he now knows also that he is absolutely, no doubt about it, he is eternally condemned. He had wanted every Christian executed. And in the time of a snap of a finger, he learned that he was wrong. So wrong. Dead wrong about Jesus Christ. Jesus told him to go in the city. He'd be told what to do. And Saul did exactly what he told him. And so Saul went to a room on the street called Straight. And in that room was a crushed man. He was in despair. He was forsaken. He understood he was spiritually separated from God. He's spiritually dead. Saul had never felt so far from God. But again, everyone is headed somewhere. And he thought he knew exactly where he was headed. To arrest Christians. And once learning he was wrong, he was still headed somewhere. He understood that. But Saul now realized that he was headed to eternal punishment in hell. And he was going there because he had unknowingly wanted what was in direct opposition to Jehovah God's will. Jesus wasn't the blasphemer. And his followers were not blasphemers. Saul realized that he was. He was the one who should die for blasphemy. God spoke to a disciple there in Damascus named Ananias and told him to go to Saul. And of course, he was hesitant. Ananias was afraid of Saul for good reason. In fact, the believers in Damascus knew exactly why Saul was in town. Look at verse 15. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. And then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, Is this not he who destroyed those who called on his name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. For three nightmarish days and nights, Saul prayed, dreading his fate. When the door opened, when Ananias opened the door, he could only hear Ananias enter. Remember, he's blind. But the regret and the guilt and the hopelessness would be replaced by joy. Ananias boldly told Saul that God had a journey in mind for him. Now every word is recorded in their conversation. But be assured that Jesus Christ was at the center of this discussion. And then Saul heard the sweetest words he would ever hear. In Acts 22, as I mentioned earlier, Saul tells the story of his conversion. And in verse 14, Acts 22:14, then he said, Then Ananias said, The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you've seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Understand, that day was about more than Saul being given a new mission in life, taking the gospel to the Gentiles and to kings and to the Jews. His joy didn't spring from the fact that he could now win debates in the synagogues again. His greatest relief was not even that he got back his eyesight. Saul learned that he could repent of his sins, that he could confess with his lips from his heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then be baptized, and his sins would be washed away by the blood of Christ. Everything changed. Literally everything. Why? Because he was now headed to heaven. To heaven! Obeying the gospel, friends, that doesn't just change your social group. It doesn't just change what you do on Sundays and Wednesday nights. It's not a matter of just changing a few habits, especially the bad ones. It means that you are now on your way to heaven. When you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, you said the most significant thing your lips will ever say. When you repent of your sins, You have turned away from the world and turned to God. And then when you're baptized, your sins are literally washed away by the blood of Christ. When all of that happens, what have you really done? You have clearly expressed your faith by obedience in Jesus Christ. But you've also expressed, this is exactly what I want. But listen to me. How bad you want to go to heaven will determine how far you'll go to get there. To remain faithful to the Lord. Listen to me. Saul had no limits to how far he would go. Heaven was continually, for the rest of his life, every breath, continually before his eyes. As you know, the Apostle Paul traveled a difficult, painful, and challenging road. So what kept him going? When I think about that, I think of passages like Romans 8:18, where Saul, now known as the Apostle Paul, wrote, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Saul, where are you headed? Heaven, that's where I'm headed. 2 Corinthians 4:16. He writes, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Saul couldn't take his eyes off the unseen things, the eternal things, heaven. On his first missionary journey, Saul's name was changed to Paul. But what really changed in his life was the path of his life, the deepest desire of his heart. What changed was his reason for living and also his reason for dying. Listen to me. You're headed somewhere. I'm headed somewhere. Everyone is headed somewhere. And where you're going is already determined by what you want. And how bad you want it will determine how far you'll go to get it. I know some of you arrived here this morning with burdens that sometimes seem too heavy and too overwhelming. The world is a hard place to live at times. One of my teachers at Harding University said, "If we could hear all the cries of agony around the world at this instant, all at the same time, it would deafen us." The world is a hard place to live. This morning, I'm simply trying to remind you, in a world of struggles, what you really want. And then assure you that if you respond to the gospel, just like Saul did, that no matter how ugly your past sins, and I can assure you, they're not as ugly as his, unless you put a bunch of Christians to death. No matter how ugly your past sins, through the blood of Christ, you will be forgiven. And then, if you walk in the light, if you walk, in other words, near to God, the blood of Christ just continues to cleanse your sin. 1 John 1:7. And friend, you will go to heaven. By the grace of God, you will go to heaven. That's where you are headed. Where are you headed this morning? I began this lesson by pointing out everyone's headed somewhere. Where they're going is determined by what they want. And how bad they want it will determine how far they'll go to get it. This morning, before you walk out of this church building, I'm pleading with you to get serious, dead serious about where you're headed. I want you to come clean with yourself if you haven't already. What do you really want? You have to understand, the answer to that question has already determined where you're going. So how far have you gone to getting what you really want? Jesus said it's a surrender. It's taking the cross, bearing the cross, surrendering. That's how far you have to go. Surrendering to God. Giving your life to Him. But once you do that, now you know exactly where you're going. And you know how to get there. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If you need to come, please come now while we stand and sing.